Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Our new time slot, noon to three, every day. Excited about that. And every Monday at two, we'll continue our conversations with the great John McClain, who joins us now. John, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Kind of been talking today about Brian Callahan. He kind of got into a profanity-filled tirade yesterday against his offense. They haven't looked very good through training camp. And what's interesting is this is not really – I mean, Brian Callahan is not that type of guy. Like, he's very mild-mannered. Vrabel, I mean, the F word was every other word. But Brian Callahan is not that way. So when a coach has to do that, that usually isn't that way, do you think the team receives the message?
Absolutely do. It reminds me of last year when Will Levis had those brain dead plays and he came out and spoke out and told the truth. And he was a young first year coach. That kind of surprised me, but that endears him to the fans and the media and probably a lot of the players as well, because they were trying to figure him out last season. And when a coach is every other word is an F-bomb, they tend to go in one ear and out the other. That's the way it was here with Bill O'Brien. And some coaches are like that, and players understand it and they accept it. But when you've got a guy that doesn't, and he does, to me, if I'm a player, that gets my attention even more. Now, the problem is they've got a new quarterback. He's a rookie quarterback. They have new linemen, but it's not like they're starting over at some of the positions. And so I don't – maybe, you know, they're a work in progress, and it starts with Ward, of course. But in, back to your question, I think it's good. You don't want a coach being someone he's not. I've seen that, too, where a coach should be one way. People would say, oh, he needs to be this way. Then he would try, and players would see right through it because it's phony BS. But we'll see if it has an effect on the offense. I'm just like here. Texans offensive line, which is terrible last offseason, is all new except for one starter at a new position, and they're getting beat up every day in practice. And it shows with C.J. Stroud. Now, D'Amico Ryan's not the kind that's gonna start throwing out F-bombs, but you know people here are frustrated that the offense is not better.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN was here this weekend and kind of wrote a blog about what he saw with the Titans. And one thing he mentioned was that the Titans seem to be okay with what Brandon Allen's done as the backup to this point. But he mentions they'll monitor free agency or potential trades for veterans over the next month. Do you buy that would be just to try and upgrade the backup? Or could you see that maybe they want to get an insurance policy just in case something happens with Cam Ward? Or maybe they get to the point where they realize he just needs a little more time.
I think that since they will get all the first dubs on waiver players, there's going to be some quarterbacks waived. And maybe they trade a low pick for a guy that's third. I don't know. And Brandon Allen has started some games, but it just depends on what they think about him. And I think for sure they're going to be in the market for another one, because you don't want Allen – if say Ward gets hurt for four games, Brandon Allen can fill in. If Ward gets hurt for longer than that, they're going to go searching for a quarterback with more starting experience. And this is something that they won't want to hear, but it's something I always tell people. I told people here when the Texans are bad, okay, so what if they lose? They're going to get a higher draft pick, and they're not going anywhere this year. Titans are not going anywhere this year. So if things don't work out and they continue to lose, that's not what they want. But there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, and that is our pick.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, let's move over to the Micah Parsons saga, which is going with the Cowboys. You think Jerry Jones likes this? Because he seems to have it. Does it seems on the outset it doesn't bother him? The message, you know, don't lose any sleep over this. I think he kind of enjoys this back and forth with guys that hold out.
I think you're right, Joe, and I think he's not losing any sleep over it. Jerry Jones doesn't care what people think about him. I don't think he cares about what his own players and coaches think. He's going to do his business, his business the way he's always done it, and it's going to be to drive hard bargains with your top players who want to be paid the highest at their position. They eventually get it done. But if he had a problem and didn't like the verbal sparring, he wouldn't do it. He's the only owner that I've ever heard of who had a weekly show and then a postgame show, and where 99% of them have no shows. And, they're never boring as long as Jerry's got a controversy, which means they're never boring.
Exactly. So you think they get it done, right?
I think they get it done, yes.
And it's funny because I'm looking and I'm reading all day, like, the Carolina Panthers are willing to give up everything to get Micah Parsons. And I think if Jerry and Micah Parsons can't come to a deal, why not trade him to one of the worst teams in football? I think that'd be hilarious on my end, but I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, well, on the other hand, there's no guarantee you're going to get a pass rusher to do what he does. And one of the problems Jerry has is he likes to talk to the player and not the agent so much. Maybe if he talked to the agent, David Mulligetta, this already would have been done. It all gets run by the agent. Agent signs off on it. But it's a peculiar and perplexing, if you're a Cowboys fan, way of doing business.
John, I saw something the other day. I don't have it in front of me, but it was about the 2018 Baltimore Ravens draft. I don't know if you saw this or not. It's now become the one draft class that's had the largest guaranteed signing of contracts, like defensive tackle Zach Zeeler's now with the Dolphins. But it just shows you, you've talked on this show for all we've had you these couple of years, how great the Ravens have done in drafting players. And this announcement, how that class, now some have moved on, obviously, how great the front office has been with the Ravens. And it proves true what you've been saying along. They've just drafted so well over the years.
John Harbaugh does a great job of coaching, but the personnel people bring in the players. And he signs off on it. He has a big role in who they bring in. And their philosophy is, if you get to a point where you can't pay them or don't want to pay them, let them walk. Get a third-round compensatory pick if possible. Make sure you do a good job with your compensatory picks. And that's been their formula for success. Now, whoever decided there and said, you know what, we need to trade back into the first round and consider taking this kid from Louisville, that turned out to be one of the all-time great moves to trade back in there and get Lamar Jackson. And I don't know if that started up at the top with Ozzie Newsome, Eric DaCosta, who replaced him as the GM, was his right-hand man, or if John Harbaugh wanted to do it. Probably somebody had to suggest it, and everybody signed off on it. And if it hadn't worked out, you know, it was at the bottom of the first round, it wasn't any big deal, but turned out to be an incredible deal. And as you guys know, if you have your quarterback, and that quarterback's playing great, and should have won the MVP award last year because it was the best season of his career, but he lost it to Josh Allen, then you're going to be good and competitive and a contender for a long time. That stability in that organization and what you want, an owner who gives money and stays out of it, that is ideal for any professional sport.
Oh, absolutely. Only two of the guys remain with the Ravens. Of course, Lamar is there. But you actually, what stood out to me, John, is that two undrafted free agents in 2018 have guaranteed contracts right now in the NFL. That's just, they should be kind of the blueprint for other teams, like you just talked about, how well they scout, how well they draft.
Absolutely, it should be. And they lose coaches, and they replace them with good coaches. And that coaching tree of John Harbaugh didn't get a lot of attention, like, say, Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan, but he should.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe. And, of course, John, every week is presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, continuing our conversation with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, another guy in a contract dispute, Terry McLaurin, the fine receiver from Washington. Again, I kind of look at this the same way as I look at Micah Parsons. I think eventually they get it done. They know they got a young quarterback and a receiver that he can trust. But what's kind of your opinion on that situation?
The problem that they have with McLaurin, he's 30 years old. He's about to turn 30. And receivers are in 30 on their third contract, don't get the big bucks. I saw Bill Barnwell have a great breakdown on ESPN last week about receivers like Mike Evans and great receivers who got a third contract, but it wasn't nearly as good as guys were getting on their second. He's not going to get it. And at some point, he'll come in, I'm guessing, around 23 or 24 million, and they'll get that issue resolved. Because if it was a different position, it'd be a different thing. But the fact that he means so much to Daniels, and Daniels has got so much confidence in him, they have got to get that deal done, and I believe they will.
As I kind of read, about other things going on in other training camps, you know, the Rams are a team that I can't really figure out, like, if they got one more left in them of trying to be something, or if they're just not going to be that good. But one thing that is standing out, and if Rams fans should be concerned, is Matthew Stafford isn't practicing right now. How big of a concern do you think that is in Los Angeles?
Anytime somebody's got a back injury and they don't know exactly what it is, and it kind of has, you can take treatment all you want, you can get surgery, but backs, as someone who's had back surgery, you can, no matter what you do, they're going to heal when they want to heal. And people here tell them, well, take your time, let him take off that first game against the Texans, bring him back for the second. You don't want to rush it. The fact is, he's been durable his entire career. He doesn't need this time. He's been in the same system, and they got a lot of talent. They're favored to win the West. You know, they almost beat Philadelphia in the snow in Philadelphia last year, played better against the Eagles than any team. They got balance, running, receiving, and I think they're a legitimate contender, and I don't have a clue. I read everything I can about what's going on there, and it looks like Sean McVay, he doesn't know. Coaches don't know when a guy's going to come back from an injury.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, I don't know if you heard the interview we had with John Robinson last Thursday. We talked to him. The first time he's really spoken publicly about all that went on with the Titans out there. As a, you know, baseball managers get 4 and 5, 6 jobs, right? Do NFL general managers, how often do they get a second chance, John?
Very seldom. And what you have to do is you have to get a job with another team and take it like assistant GM or head of player personnel, have your team do well, and then you get more interviews. And there's a lot of guys that thought they might get another chance. Charlie Casserly got one because he had been fired from Washington, and then he was out of work and had a chance when the Texans got their franchise. They interviewed him, and he had a chance, long time to talk to Bob McNair because he was unemployed. So he got his second general manager's job with the Texans. But it's just very unusual because owners hold it against GMs more than they hold it against coaches.
John, in your expert opinion, who is the best general manager in football right now?
Boy, it'd have to be, it's not necessarily the most important teams. Like, people talk about John Lynch. He doesn't have final say. People talk about Brett Veach in Kansas City. He doesn't have final say. John Schneider, all those years with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll had final say. So, and a lot of them, like Kyle Shanahan, has it in his contract. But when I see people say, and this is mainly national people, John Lynch did this, John Lynch did that, and he might have, but Kyle Shanahan had to sign off on it. So we were talking about Eric DaCosta from Baltimore. What team has been consistently better? And John Harbaugh has a big say, but DaCosta has final say. Say Sean Payton, he has final say. Bill Belichick had final say every year, but his first one, which was a losing record. So you can take teams that are consistently good and look and see the GMs that have the last word, like here, Nick Caserio has in his contract that he is in charge of all personnel, which means, and he works closely with D'Amico Ryans, tries to get the kind of players Ryans wants, tries to get the players, specific players Ryans wants, which isn't all possible. But I'm going with DaCosta.
I like that. John, the Titans travel to Tampa for a game with them next Saturday, preseason game. Probably won't see Baker Mayfield at all take the field. What can teams take away, or front offices take away, from the maturity of a Baker Mayfield? Because, look, the Bucs have signed him up now for another three-year guaranteed, $100 million, whatever it is. What's the story there with Baker Mayfield when you look at it with the 5,000-foot view of his kind of movement through the National Football League?
If you look at the seasons he had with the Browns, he took them to the playoffs. He beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. He had a year where he threw for almost 4,000 yards. But they kept changing people on him, changing general managers, and owners were not very good. So then he has a cup of coffee in Carolina, L.A., and then he gets to a team that just the coaching, the offensive system, it just kind of fit. And a lot of it's probably him as well. He just kind of matured, grew up, and that maturity off the field helped him on the field. Now it looks like he'll be with the Bucs forever. Last year he threw 40 touchdown passes, Baker Mayfield. And so I think he is an example for any quarterback who struggles with one team or gets cut a couple times, that what your career can become if you get with the right team, and that isn't always taking the most money.
John McClain is with us. I saw a piece that I guess Shador Sanders said he doesn't want Deion, his father, at training camp, doesn't want any distractions and any of that stuff. Do you think he's going to end up being the starter?
No, I don't think he's going to be the starter. And I think, you know, he told Deion he didn't want him to come to camp. And I don't blame him. Deion comes. He's a distraction. Everybody's talking to Deion. What do you think about your son being a fifth-round pick? What do you think about him being fourth team? No, I think they took Dylan Gabriel for a reason, and they liked him better than Shador Sanders. So I think if somebody besides Flacco or Pickett starts, Gabriel get the first chance. But they may have a lot of turnover early in the season with their quarterbacks, because the truth is right now, none's very good. Flacco benched last year in Indy. Pickett's already bouncing around like a pinball. Maybe Pickett at some point could be like Baker Mayfield, because he was a first-round pick, and he's had some success, but people are kind of counting him out. But if it's the two rookies, I'm going with Gabriel. Doesn't mean Sanders won't start at some point, though. I just don't think it'll be any time as a rookie.
Is Pickett the kind of guy that maybe the Titans could be interested in? Young enough that, you know, is still developable, you know, they could develop him, but also has some experience as a starter?
That's a great point. He might be ideal if he understood you're not going to be the starting quarterback. You're not going to be competing for the starting quarterback job. But you'll be playing if you get hurt, and we're going to pay you a little more money than you would get in ordinarily, to see if that works. Now, he might want to go somewhere where he's got a chance to start, and that would not be with the Titans.
No, it would not. John, appreciate it as always. We're excited to continue this with you and doing some Reaction Mondays coming up in the season.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you very much. Where you go, I go.
We appreciate it. Thank you, John. John McClain joining us. Presented by Maple Street Biscuits, Wake Up to WOW. Okay.
Ask him for some beers in Minnesota this weekend.
I should have mentioned that. What if? We like the what if game.
We love the what if game.
What if Kenny Pickett's the odd man out in Cleveland? Would you rather have him than Brandon Allen?
Nope. Not at all.
You explain why coming up next. Jason Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Appreciate John McClain for joining us. We got our question of the day is your favorite lunch spots that are local, that are not chain.
Right.
I'm realizing I got to get used to this because I've been kind of eating during breaks. And
well, what are you eating?
I ordered some Chinese food earlier.
Didn't even ask us, Dr. Crane.
It's okay. I don't want an egg roll.
I'd love an egg roll. Five of them.
Well.
So you got to eat before the show, man.
Didn't have any time to do that because I had to meet some more and all that stuff. So
you'll figure out the balance.
I'll figure it out.
really good to go. Yeah.
It's all good. But
again, thanks for the responses. But your favorite non-chain lunch spot in Middle Tennessee, 615-737-1025. I mean, 30, 35 of those have come in that most of you have never heard of. So thank you for that. Keep them coming in here and let us know your favorite non-chain lunch spot.
Michael and Madison on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit hearing the words Kenny Pickett and Titans in the same sentence.
Thank you. Here's why it's not a good match. Who drafted Kenny Pickett?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Where did he go then?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Where is he now?
Cleveland Browns.
So if they let him go, it ain't working out in three places. You think it's going to work out here in Nashville? No. It's not.
I mean.
It's not.
Sam Darnold was with the – I'm just giving you some examples. Sam Darnold was with the Jets and then went to the 49ers and then went to the Vikings. And now
wasn't he with the Panthers too for a while?
Panthers. Panthers were in there.
Sam Darnold is a much better quarterback.
Baker Mayfield, who you were just talking about, started with the Browns, which, I mean, look, it's the Browns, then Carolina, and then finally ends up in – and then the Rams and then Tampa.
But you knew Baker had talent. You knew Sam Darnold had
sure,
talent.
Sure. Look, I don't necessarily disagree with you. Yeah, I'm just simply asking the question – if you're a Titans fan, does Kenny Pickett give you a little more of an insurance policy than Brandon Allen? That's all I'm asking.
I say no, but I'd be shocked now if they got somebody and brought him in. He's got to learn the playbook, learn the ins and outs, learn the players, learn the coaches. I think they like Brandon Allen if it comes to that.
Well, I'm just saying what Fowler's reporting, that they might look around and monitor things.
That guy, Fowler. I'd much rather read Paul Kaharsky every day than a guy who
Paul
pops
is there
once a week.
Paul is there every day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Fowler's connected. That's how the insiders work.
Yeah, I know. But still, I just, you know, like Mularkey, what did Mularkey tell Ian Rappaport that made Ian mad about?
I don't know.
Something when he was here, he gave him false information to see if he'd run with it, and he ran with it. And Rappaport's like, that was so critical and to my career that was so bad and blah, blah. I'm like, whatever. I'd feed stuff all the time to see who's the leak. It's like a good spy thriller, man. Get it out there, who's leaking information.
Well, Floyd used to do that.
Love it. I love that. Absolutely do that. But no, to go back, no Kenny Pickett. No. I mean, I just don't think obviously he's not working anywhere else out.
Yeah.
I got to work out here as well.
Fine.
But the Browns, the quarterback, I mean, they've got that crowded room. Flacco and Sanders and Gabriel and Pickett. And then there's somebody, they had five at one time.
Well,
they?
Watson's on IR.
Watson.
But yeah, I mean, they have five on the roster, technically.
Just a terrible, terrible signing. Just unbelievable, that guy.
I would say it set the, I think it did set the franchise back.
But it's the Browns. If you picked one team who would have done that contract, it would have been the Browns.
Yeah.
They always do something that's like that. Like, what in the world that goes on there? So, I don't know. I think they're good now. Yeah, again, that's a good thing. We'll see, you know, the joint practices Thursday with Tampa Bay. I don't know how much you read into the game on Saturday with Cam. He's going to play a lot. I say he plays the half. Say he plays the half against the Falcons. If he's your guy, play him. And don't give me that he's tired. You got plenty of downtime. They're not practicing now. They're not practicing tomorrow. I mean, they're practicing in the morning, but there's down. It's not like you're practicing 18 hours a day. Guy's 22 years old. They got this.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland says, Brandon Allen sucks so bad, his own family would be sick if he had to start. If that happens, the season is over. Cam has to stay on the field because, once again, we have no hope with the roster as currently constructed. Adam feeling great right now. Adam, you're always so positive. What happened?
Right. I think his family's pretty happy that their relative's an NFL quarterback. I think they're fine with that.
Justin in Greenbrier says, I know this sounds fatalistic, but what if the Titans continue down this awful road and in the not too distant future someone talks about them like the Browns? I think there's people already kind of putting the Titans in that category.
But I mean, that's generational with the Browns. You know, the Browns were so good in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, that Jim Brown and just such a good football team. And then 70s hit, and their unfortunate thing was they were in the same division with the Steelers.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. The Steelers just took off and dominated. 80s, they found their ground. They fumbled. Elway has a drive versus them. Ernest Biner fumbles going in for a game-winning touchdown that sends him to the Super Bowl. They're just mired in bad luck. There's franchises that are just like that. They are one of those. I mean, you can look at the Vikings. Vikings are always good. Never great, never bad. But they've lost in the four Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's just one of those teams that's just you think they're never going to get past that hump. Unfortunate for the Vikings, had to battle the Packers, had to battle the Bears in their division. Lions were terrible in the 70s and 80s, so it didn't matter. But it just takes everything coming together. That's why it's so hard to win a Super Bowl. It is so hard to even get there, much less win it.
615-737-1025. Billy wants to weigh in and has a Browns comment. Hello, Billy.
Yes, I'm here to talk about all them garbage quarterbacks in Cleveland. Kenny Pickett need to go. Gabriel need to go. They just need to keep Shador and Flacco.
Okay.
Why is that?
Because Shador is the best quarterback on that roster. Because we know the rapist Deshaun Watson, they gonna get rid of him. The Shador need to play right up under Flacco. Let Flacco start when Flacco started messing up. Because we know he is. Because I'm a Colts fan. We threw him away last year. So as soon as he started messing up, put Shador in.
I'm okay. With you on that one.
Right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
I'd love to see it. Love to see the young man become a star. Because, he went to the fifth round. Everybody's like, he's falling.
I think it would be a tremendous story. And, I mean, there's going to be a 30-for-30 on it. If Shador Sanders goes from at one point in time being projected as the number one overall pick to then being still a first-round pick to falling to the fifth round and then somehow overcomes that and eventually becomes the starting quarterback and has a nice career. I mean, I'd love to see that. But – there's clearly something that these scouts and these teams saw that they didn't like that ultimately moved him to the fifth round, whether it's ability, whether it's his dad, whether it's him, the cockiness, I don't know. But there's clearly something that made him fall that far.
Yep.
Now, the great redemption story would be if he can overcome that.
Yeah, and watch him go out and be a star. I mean, look, it's going to probably happen. The opportunity is going to be there for him. Let's see if he can do it. If he does, man, that's fantastic. Prove it on the field, baby. Prove it on the field and let it go and see what you could do. But it's funny, you bring up Kenny Pickett. He's on the NFL Network right now talking, and they're like, hey, this radio show in Nashville says you'd be a terrible fit in Nashville. Your reaction? I don't know. I'll probably end up playing for all 32 teams at some point.
So you'll find this interesting, kind of shifting gears. Heather Dinich put out this article on ESPN that – according to the All-State playoff predictor that they have, that there are 32 teams, the most in the college football playoff era, with at least a 10% chance of reaching the playoff.
Oh, okay.
They come from the Power Four, the American, and the Mountain West. But how many of them can actually win the national title, it says? Four or five, according to Texas A&M coach Mike Elko. I'd say there's eight, says Alabama's Kalen DeBoer. And then here is the list. Texas is number one. I think right now everybody's viewing Texas as probably the team to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, number two. Can't really argue there of them making the playoffs. Ohio State, good so far. Feel that. Alabama at number four, coming off a 9-4 season. You feel pretty good about Alabama.
They win the national championship.
Number five, Jimmy Frank and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Think they're pretty good. Number six, the Oregon Ducks. I don't know if Oregon gets the credit they deserve, but they're a very good team with Dan Lanning at the helm. Number seven, the Clemson Tigers. I think Clemson could be set to make a comeback.
I'm with you. I'm reading. I'm going down the list with you.
So far, so good?
Yep.
Number eight, the Miami Hurricanes. Missed it last year. They shot themselves in the foot.
Make or break for
100%.
The coach.
For
what's his name? Cristobal.
Cristobal.
Jeez.
Number nine, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yep.
I would say that's probably fine. And at number 10, coming off a 10-3 season last year, including a first-round appearance in the college football playoff, the Tennessee Volunteers.
Wow.
I'm surprised they're that high.
Wow. The coaches poll top 25 has Tennessee at 18.
Yeah.
So they got South Carolina at 13. It's all about Aguilar. If he's the guy, it can run that offense like Heupel needs him to. That defense is really good in Knoxville, folks. That offense has a long way to go, but that defense is going to keep them in every single game.
Do they need Boo Carter? Like, how much of a difference could he make? I don't know. I'm asking. I really don't know.
Huge. I mean, the guy's a great player, but I think he's a head case.
So ESPN Analytics, this is all based off their analytic model.
Nerds.
Has the Vols at 38.5% to make the playoffs, 2.3% to win the national title. And so it says, do you agree or disagree with ESPN Analytics? Heather Dennett says, I disagree. Quote, this is too high for the Vols, who returned just 39% of their offense from last season's playoff team, with former quarterback Nico Iamaleava at UCLA and running back Dylan Sampson and the top three receivers from last season also gone. Toughest tests, October 18th at Alabama. Yes, the September 13th game against Georgia is probably a tougher opponent, but going to Tuscaloosa to face Bama could mean a second loss before November, and that's with Oklahoma and a trip to the Swamp still looming. ESPN's FPI gives Alabama a 71.9% chance to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now. I mean, that's why I look at that like, all right, analytics, who gets injured, who goes on. I mean, you just don't know. Alabama's quarterback's unknown, but the rest of that damn team is really, really good. That's why I love this. It's all determined on the field at some point. I got no problem with that.
So number 11, real quick, Texas A&M.
Okay.
I think they're kind of on the rise.
But that schedule, man, it is so tough.
Yeah, they give them 34.3% to make the playoff, 2.3% to win the title. Ole Miss, 30.7% to make it, 1.5% to win it all at 12. LSU, now LSU, I think they're going to be one to rise up. I don't know. I got a funny feeling about
LSU. It's that opening game.
Yep.
At Clemson. By the way, go back up to Ole Miss. 8-4.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough year.
14, Michigan. I don't know about that. Boise State at 15, Tulane. They seem to like Tulane.
That's a good team.
I think they are too.
Coach. It's a good program. That's a really good team.
Who's their coach now?
Chadwell's
still at Coastal,
right? It's a Kentucky guy, and if you wouldn't have said that, I would have told you who it was. He's been mentioned as the new – if something happens to Stoop, he's taking over Kentucky. It's not Marmalade. That's Lady Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade.
The song.
Kansas State at 17, Auburn at 18, UNLV at 19, Dan Mullen.
Auburn at 18?
I know.
He's not done anything.
Then it's SMU at 20, USC at 21. I think he's out.
Yep.
South Carolina at 22. Oklahoma at 23, Arizona State 24, Florida at 25, Kansas at 26, BYU at 27, Virginia Tech at 28, Baylor at 29, Nebraska at 30, TCU at 31, and Texas Tech at 32.
Texas Tech, right? So they've spent so much money. That rich oil guy worth billions has got the NIL going. And South Carolina. Right, we saw the Netflix documentary part one about Beamer.
Yeah,
and those kids love. I know he's a little goofy. I know Robbie Stanley thinks he's good, and he is goofy, but he's got a little something there. And this could be a really pivotal year for South Carolina for Shane Beamer because all the momentum, and you have who was picked to be the number one quarterback in the SEC over Arch Manning. You got a good quarterback there. You got somewhat of a favorable schedule. Carolina could be, as Tim Brando says, who has me blocked on Twitter, that could be the fly in the ointment for a lot of things. I think South Carolina could be really good this year.
4657 says either Texas or Ohio State is going to fall out of that top five right after week one, hoping it's Ohio State. Hook them.
Yeah.
Probably.
But I mean, it's going to happen.
Who's Texas got week one?
Ohio State.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So kudos. That's the big noon kickoff. I love it. Yeah. I love the fact that they're playing like that. Good. Go out. You got to be the best. You got to beat the best. And right there, that's a game out of the gate. What's going to happen?
David asked this question. Is Texas number one because Manning is starting, or are they legit? I think that is the question. That is the question everybody's asking.
Yeah. I think it's
– because is Manning legit? He's going to get battle tested week one.
I love it. I love it. And I'm sitting on this show and eat my words, but he's done nothing so far to show me he's the guy. Oh, I can tell you right now,
if they just destroy, if he just eats up Ohio State, I'm not going to let you forget about it.
Please don't. But if Ohio State.
Neither is his uncle.
Man, you don't talk about my nephew is going. I've never been to Columbus last year. It was a bad time for the Vols up here. But I said to Cooper, I said, we're going to rebound. What's better, get me drunk doing Peyton Manning? That's like 80 times worse than that, so you'll see.
Yeah, 100%. We will come back, put a bow on day number one, noon to three. DVD is coming up next, making their afternoon debut. That's all ahead. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Monday, our first noon to three show officially, and we appreciate all of you for participating. And broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And so, in honor of our first show, I know Dr. Crane has put together what are we calling this? Is this kind of like the recap, or?
I guess you can call it the show recap or a freaky recap. I don't know. It could have
freaky,
its own. I don't know. That's the first thing that came to mind.
See what's in on your mind. That's
well, fine. You said Frasier, yeah. F, freaky, I don't know.
It's a family. Need we remind you every day it's a family show?
We'll call it the Joe Dubin recap.
No. Don't use my name. God, I don't want any part of this.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I don't know what to expect here, but here we go. Yes, so yes, it's a new day. Yes, it is. Chasing Big Joe, new time, new energy, same goofiness.
I hate the words mental reps.
I'm going to have to agree with Joe. I think Parsons.
I'm going to stab you in the eyeball.
I think Parsons, well, joined the list.
Fatouche, okay? On Charlotte. Gotcha.
Cool. Thanks for the insight.
You had me at triple D.
When I do math, everyone.
Just say it. We'll add
when I do everyone needs to shut up. Okay,
that's
how this works. Like,
guy went to FRA, man.
I went to FRA. He had 29.
Who was the most handsome Vandy fan?
'90s vibe.
Nice. What did? Please tell me you bought your sweet mom. You bought lunch.
That's a personal question, but no, I did, actually. It was for her birthday.
For her birthday. Good.
Yeah. Okay, very well done. Our first recap of the day.
Get a name for that? Get a sponsor?
Together at CromwellMedia.com. Right. You can ask for Lance.
Yeah, ask for Lance.
Or Les. Or Sean.
A lot of moving parts back here. Sorry for the delay.
No, it was good.
Dude,
it was
you're fine.
It was great.
I'm telling you.
So when I was producing our old morning show, we did that. We called it the Daily Rewind what we called it. And we did it like every day. And it got to the point where it's probably why we're not. Derek, you're back there. You remember that. It's probably why we're not a morning show anymore. But it got to the point it was just all goofy, but it was fun.
It was. And then I thought we did it like, what did we learn? That was like, did we learn? We did that. But I'm telling you, Dr. Crane. If something happened to Chase and you happened to die behind the thing, I told you, I call 911 and I leave. I just go home. I can't run that. I don't even attempt to run that. I just go home, all right? And then I'll see you at the hospital.
That was very well done, Dr. Crane.
Thank you.
Good job.
Appreciate it.
We bring in Adam Vingan now, a member, of course, of DVD, which is coming up next. That is now our afternoon show from 3 to 6. Adam, fresh off vacation. Nothing new going on here. But how are you, man? Looking forward to it.
I'm good. I'm looking forward to it as well. I got a little color, had a nice vacation with the family, but glad to be back with my 102.5 The Game family and looking forward to roughly, what time is that? Let's say 53? Okay, 7 minutes. Roughly 7 minutes. Looking forward to being reunited with Willie and Derek at our new time.
Where did you go?
We went to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, specifically Ocracoke Island. Highly recommend.
Isn't there a TV show, Netflix show about the Outer Banks? Or something?
Yeah. There is. I have not watched it, but
don't lie to us.
No, I'm being completely honest.
Okay. Chase called this a handoff.
Okay.
So let's none of us fumble the ball.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
No. What do we expect today on the afternoon debut of DVD?
I was going to say, if it's going to be called the handoff, you do have an all-pro wide receiver.
Yeah, that could be good.
His hands are a little bit, you know, you can trust his hands a little bit more than mine in that situation. What do we have in store? Well, I believe it was William Shakespeare who once asked, to sit or not to sit? That is the question. Cam Ward. With the Titans offense struggling, with Cam Ward throwing picks in practice, a lot of Titans fans feel he may benefit from not starting right away. It's an interesting conversation because depending on which side you're on, there are plenty of examples as to, hey, it benefits a quarterback to sit, a young quarterback to sit. Mm-hmm. Then there are other examples of, hey, this quarterback started right away, no problem. So Willie, Derek, and I are going to dive into that. We're going to dive into the Titans offensive struggles. Teron Davenport will join us at 4 o'clock. Looking forward to our old show at our new time.
Yep.
Let me ask you this, Adam.
Yes.
If you let your hair grow, would you look like Shakespeare eventually?
My hair grows up, not down.
So, Mr. Burns.
I had a mean fro in middle school, let me tell you.
You should be Mr. Burns for Halloween. That would be awesome.
Oh, actually. Man.
So I get the question all the time. Smithers. If I let my hair grow out, I mean, it's awful. So I don't do it. If you let your hair grow out, what would you look like?
Bob Ross.
You have that much hair?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I have the hair. I like to point out that Willie, Derek, and I, we all have less hair on our head.
Yeah.
As my son says, I have tiny hair. I'm balding. I do have hair. I it's still up there. I just chose to be proactive and shave it off.
I like that.
We're looking forward to the show this afternoon.
We are as well. Can't wait to talk to you in roughly 5 minutes.
Yes. That is going to do it for us today, Big Joe.
It is. As we leave the show every day, look, the same message we tell you about, we're so honored to be partnered with Unity Psychiatric Care. Just go to the website, thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. The drop down, you'll see the Unity Psychiatric Care link there. Please, we tell you all the time, please talk to someone. We are so honored that we have somebody with us now on this journey to help you feel better. So if you need something, please go there, unitypsych.com/Big Joe, we're there for you. Please talk to somebody. Look, it's a journey, right? We know the journey is full of bumpy roads, dark clouds, but it gets better. I tell you, it gets better. So hang in there. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is next here on 102.5 The Game.